And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is my great privilege to present Dr. Neil Armstrong to all of you. Dr. Armstrong.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Hovde, Governor, Senator, distinguished leaders of the university, my fellow learners, it's one grand honor to accept this doctorate, and even a grander honor to receive this welcome from the people of my school. Thank you. And I should say, Dr. Hovde, that it's particularly thoughtful of you to conduct the presentation in this arena on the rocket pad. Throughout history, great ideas have been spawned in the university. Four decades ago, curious men from around the world gathered on a campus at Göttingen in Germany, determined to unlock the secrets of the atom. This week, dedicated men from around the world gather in this country to conduct the first review of the recent analysis of the rocks of the moon. Now, most of you know that the lunar samples have turned out to be a treasure of surprises. The unexpected characteristics are providing answers to a number of age-old questions and creating a myriad of new questions. Scientific history would no doubt be quick to point out that this has been the story of discovery over and over. A few answers, a great many new questions. However, each piece of the puzzle contributes to the understanding of the great questions. What is the universe? What is man's purpose in the universe? What is the destiny of man? Perhaps it's timely, now that we have completed our national commitment to explore near space, to review the results of that American commitment. What are the results in science, in technology, in education, in social problems? In science, the knowledge of our moon and the nearby planets has increased by a factor of 10 to the n. An n is somewhere between 2 and 7, depending on the enthusiasm of the observer. In technology, a transportation system exists, complete with new materials, new processes, and fancy gadgets that can be used in at least some other enterprises. This transportation system can be used to go to the moon and perhaps some other places. Many people now accept that that is easy. It's not. In education, primary and secondary education has been stimulated to improve and to modernize. More emphasis is being given to the education of gifted children. Colleges and universities have been reorganizing their curricula to meet rapid advances in science and engineering. It is beginning to be recognized, I hope, that higher education in this dynamic environment is a never-ending pursuit. Perhaps within our lifetime, this will lead to the evolution of a graduate program that exists not for 1 or 2 or 3 years after the bachelor's degree, but rather continually, periodically, throughout one's entire adult lifetime. As a social program, space effort has not generally been categorized as a social program, but consider the facts. $35 billion in goods and services in the past decade. 350,000 jobs in 177 cities and 30 states, many in previously low-income areas. Job training, skilled and semi-skilled positions. So there can be, then, some case made for the $3 to $4 billion we spend in the space effort being chucked into the same bin as the $73 billion that we spend on federal, state, and local social programs each year. Because of the successes of the program, the lives and the lives of the crew members that depended on the precision work. Extra care was assumed by each worker in those 350,000. And fine craftsmanship returned to the American scene. The old saying, they don't build them like they used to, was used for a change as a compliment. Yet in my recent trip, or several trips around the world, I continually encountered an effect, for the near term at least, may be even more important than these scientific benefits, technological benefits, education benefits, and social benefits. People everywhere, through the miracles of modern communication, felt a sense of participation and a vicarious triumph in completing the Apollo goal. The goal required the best of so many diverse disciplines that people around the world gained hope that difficult problems could be solved if the goal was clear, the resolve firm, and the people would and could work together to achieve that goal. Hopefully, the difficult problems here on our planet can also be solved. The problems of social tension, pollution, problems of the cities. But recall the words of the poet Edwin Markham. Why build the cities glorious if man unbuilded goes? In vain we build the world unless the builder also grows. We each need to gather courage and self-discipline to build a better world, to build a universe, to build within ourselves. The building won't be measured by the length of a new dam or the prevention of an epidemic. It'll be measured within ourselves. Aldous Huxley observed, "There's only one corner of the universe you can be sure of improving, and that's your own self." Y'all know that on the moon we had the privilege of leaving a few articles. Silicon disk, including 74 messages of goodwill from chiefs of state from countries around the world. Some medallions in honor of our departed colleagues. An olive branch. An American flag. That was a high privilege. But it was a pleasure for me to take along also something else to the moon and bring it back. 1969 was the year of the lunar landing. Was also the 100th anniversary of this university. And it was my privilege and great pleasure to carry along the university's centennial flag. It's a particular pleasure for me to now return that flag to the university. I'd like to ask President Hovde to accept it for the university.
Dr. Armstrong, we are proud to do you honor, but I think the honor you do us is even greater, and we are deeply grateful for the thoughtfulness and the pride with which you took a symbol from your university on your trip to the moon and brought it back to us, where we will treasure and guard it and look on it with the pride I know you all feel in your hearts for a great individual, a great, great accomplishment in the service of man. Thank you very much.